Business.
American Business. The New Stakeholderism. Purpose is out, patriotism is in.
What are companies for? 5 years ago, the Business Roundtable, a club of American chief executives, overturned orthodoxy on this question. For decades, company bosses had generally agreed that their mission was to make their shareholders richer. Doing good meant doing well. More precisely, it meant raising their firm's share price. Such a narrow measure of success, it was argued, would keep managers focused and honest. The Business Roundtable's memo of August 2019, by contrast, insisted that companies should act in the interests of all their stakeholders, not just shareholders, but customers, employees, and society as a whole. The timing was no coincidence. According to Gallup, a polling firm, the share of Americans who had very little or no confidence in big business had rocketed from a quarter in 2000 to almost two-fifths in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. Corporate America needed a rebrand. The divisive presidency of Donald Trump provided the perfect opportunity, as America's elites increasingly looked to companies to take action on problems ranging from climate change to racial inequality. Environmental, social, and governance issues, together ESG, a discordant triptych used by investors to quantify corporate goodness, soon reached the top of boardroom agendas. That project is beginning to crumble. Chatter about climate change on the earnings calls of companies in the S&P 500 index was nearly a third lower last year compared with its peak in 2021. The ESG pendulum has swung back, said the boss of Glencore, a Swiss mining giant, earlier this month, after scrapping a plan to shed its coal business. Companies now tend to evaluate green investments solely on their commercial rather than moral merits, notes the boss of a sustainability consultancy. Talk of diversity on earnings calls has also plummeted by nearly half since 2021. So far this year, investors have withdrawn around 4% of the money they had allocated to ESG funds in America. Yet it would be a mistake to assume a return to the days when bosses were free to focus simply on maximizing short-term shareholder wealth. According to Gallup, confidence in big business has only worsened since the Damascene conversion of the Business Roundtable. Far more Americans have confidence in the country's police, military, churches, and unions. This makes big business an easy target for both Democrats and Republicans. Clashing with companies has always been a feature of the far left, but we're seeing more of it across the political spectrum, including on the right, says Joshua Bolton, chief executive of the Business Roundtable. J.D. Vance, Mr. Trump's running mate, railed against Wall Street at the Republican Party's convention in July. He is seen by bosses as an anti-capitalist, says Jeffrey Sonnenfeld of Yale University. What America's two political tribes want from business is not always the same. When it comes to the environment and diversity, they are at loggerheads. That helps explain why chief executives' enthusiasm for ESG, which Republicans deride as woke capitalism, has proved so brittle. But both Democrats and Republicans are eager for corporate America to churn out middle-class jobs while remaining one step ahead of China in the race for technological supremacy. Calls for corporate purpose may have quietened. Those for corporate patriotism are getting louder. America's government is not waiting for companies to volunteer. Although there has always been the proverbial military-industrial complex, says Curtis Millhaupt of Stanford Law School, the number of firms wrapped up in national security policy is much larger today. Companies dealing in areas of cutting-edge technology must now keep one eye fixed on the expanding list of Chinese firms they cannot do business with. Carmakers are bracing for rules prohibiting the use of Chinese software in autonomous vehicles. Some bosses fret that Mr. Trump, if he is re-elected in November, could expand America's export restrictions, though he may also lean harder on allies to match its measures on China, lessening their impact on American businesses, notes Jeremy Zucker of Deckert, a law firm. Cross-border investments are getting trickier too. In June, America's Treasury Department announced details of its proposed restrictions on investments in Chinese semiconductor, quantum computing, and artificial intelligence companies by American firms. Scrutiny of inbound transactions, meanwhile, continues to increase. Last year, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, America's inbound investment watchdog, poked its nose into transactions in industries accounting for 60% of the value of America's stock market. The political furore over the proposed takeover of U.S. Steel, a faded industrial icon, by Nippon Steel, a Japanese rival, shows just how sweeping the definition of national security has become. Some companies are trying to persuade politicians to go easy on trade and investment rules. Companies are pushing a lot harder than they were even a year ago, says Deborah Curtis of Arnold and Porter, a law firm, of recent discussions between bosses and policymakers in relation to technology restrictions. Other companies, though, are latching onto politicians' efforts to nurture national champions. Pat Gelsinger, the boss of Intel, an American chip-making giant, said he could feel the national pride welling up when work started at a site in Ohio in 2022. Earlier this year, his company was awarded the biggest handout so far under the CHIPS Act, comprising $8.5 billion in grants and up to $11 billion in loans. Falling in with the government's security agenda can benefit firms in subtler ways too. A $1.5 billion investment by Microsoft, an American tech giant, into G42, an AI startup, in April, was reported to have been negotiated in close cooperation with the government. It came with the stipulation that the Emirati firm sever its ties with Huawei, a Chinese tech company under American sanctions. All this poses two problems. The first is that a more interventionist government is liable to become besieged by lobbying. Plenty of politicians still care more about personal than national interest. Donald Trump has shown himself willing to bestow favors on those that support him. Elon Musk, the boss of Tesla, an electric vehicle or EV company, has been busily courting the presidential candidate. On August 3rd, Mr. Trump declared he now supported EVs because Elon endorsed me very strongly. The second risk is an erosion of America's competitiveness over the long run. Allowing US Steel to be acquired by its Japanese rival would provide it with more advanced technology and greater scale, making the company more competitive with Chinese rivals and lowering prices for industrial buyers such as America's carmakers. Government freebies for Intel, by contrast, will diminish the incentive for it to regain the technological lead in its industry. The support the company has so far received has done little to slow its decline. This month, it announced it would fire 15,000 workers. In time, the costs of corporate patriotism for all America's stakeholders will grow clearer.